At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Redacted on this Monday. So glad to have you all here. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we hold powerful people to account, covering the stories you might not see in the mainstream media. And I think our motto, you know, we say like question everything. I think that's a good motto.
Sure.
Question everything.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, if you're, I think we're going to go through and I see some of the comments in our videos on a regular basis and people saying, you know, thank you for seeking the truth. And that's all we're doing on this show is trying to take a look at these big news stories and to try to understand them. We've spent 20 years as journalists in the mainstream media.
Each.
And so we get to do our own thing on this show. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. So without further ado, these are the stories we're going to be covering on the show today. China ramping up launching of warplanes just a short time ago as the United States barrels with its own warships into the Taiwan Strait. And a new round of senators has managed to show up in Taiwan as if we needed that right now. Like, what the hell are these people thinking? We'll have that story for you.
Plus the possibility of nuclear war in Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine continue to point fingers at one another. Now, Russia is showing off bombs that were shelled at the nuclear power plant in question and saying these come from the UK. They were given to Ukraine. We're going to look at that evidence and see what we think of that.
We're also going to look at some bombshell news just a few minutes ago from President Trump. On the latest on this raid out of his Mar-a-Lago property. And we will tell you what the president, former president, had to say about what they stole from his property just a short time ago. And a lot of questions still about this Espionage Act. And so we're going to dive deep into that side of
that story. I think we should be careful about the word stole, right?
Okay. Well, someone goes into your house and takes something. What do you guys call it?
With government permission, right?
Okay. But still...
Yes, I just like want to be careful with our words.
Like if the government comes into my house and takes my dog.
Well, they gave him a receipt.
So if someone comes in and takes Grover, my dog, I'm going to and then they leave with my dog, to me they stole my dog. They're not borrowing my dog. They stole my dog.
Okay, I just want to be careful with our words. That's all.
I'm just saying.
I see how you feel about this.
Just let us know in the chat what you think. Do you think it's just borrowed or stolen? We are live, so we'll read your comments here. Maybe we can do a poll. We'll do a poll.
No, let's not do a poll. Let's just...
Just tell us.
Yeah.
Borrowed or stolen?
Let's be kind to one another, respect various opinions.
All right.
Okay.
Also, we're going to look at the latest on the CDC. You might have noticed something over the weekend. If you went to the CDC's website, they removed a bunch of shit. So we're going to tell you what they removed and why they removed it. We've got it, though. We managed to find the archived version of it. We'll show you the very latest on the CDC and some remarkable data that they are now saying, we're just not going to put it on our website anymore. Redacted starts right now. So yes, we do have a daily newsletter. If you go to redacted.inc, it's not .com, but sign up. It's totally free. It'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So if you missed that little audio chunk there, again, redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up. And we cover the stories that you can drink. You can drink them or you can read them while you're drinking your cup of coffee in the morning.
Yes.
But not alcohol.
Indeed, all of that stuff. Okay, shall we start with China then?
Yeah, let's start with China because the United States loves war and the United States loves to provoke wars. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the last 70 years of United States history. If you disagree with me, well, you're wrong. And they want nothing more than to go to war with China. The United States just confirmed that it is in fact sending U.S. warships right now to the heart of Taiwan and the Taiwan Strait, which is something that China said they will absolutely not take lightly. Let me read this headline just a few moments ago. Will China mess with U.S. warships headed for Taiwan Strait? The U.S. has thrown down the gauntlet. A showdown may come in the coming weeks. In the coming weeks, we could be at war. If sanity does not prevail, White House and Pentagon spokesmen keep insisting, as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Colin Kale did on August 14th, just yesterday. He said, what's important for us right now is to make sure that Beijing understands that our forces in the region will continue to operate, to fly, to sail, wherever international waters allow. That includes the Taiwan Strait. And he basically says, We're throwing down the gauntlet. We are coming in.
We're coming into your hood.
Like, this is your backyard. This would be the equivalent of China sending a number of warships
to the Caribbean.
To the Caribbean, or even higher than that. I would even argue, like, you know, hey, right off the coast of Miami, Florida. Like, hey, here we are, right here, right on your back. We would not tolerate that. Again, we have something called the Monroe Doctrine, which is something that James Monroe, President of the United States, enacted, which says nobody in the East can come to the Western Hemisphere and be in our waters. We rule the waters of the Western Hemisphere, thus the United States. It's something we wrote, like it's our own document.
But these are carefully chosen words, right? We will go wherever international waters allows. So it's one of those, like, I'm not touching you, but I'm not touching you, right? I'm right here where you don't want me to be, and strong words are coming as a result. But we can be here.
Yeah, we can
right?
be here.
These are the rules.
So now the question is, you know, will China send their own warships?
Yes. Right?
So that this was the response that I was thinking about overnight. And yes, sure enough, we got word before the show that China is flexing its military muscle near Taiwan. The war games, new war games, come in response to the visit of a U.S. congressional delegation to the self-governing land.
Now, just last week, China had put a pause on these military drills for a few days in order to release a white paper to Taiwan saying, this is what we propose. You need to seriously think about this, right? Because we don't want anyone else in this region. I don't know if Taiwan is still taking some time to think it over when someone gives you a marriage proposal, right, like that. But now China has unpaused those military drills now that this continues to escalate.
Well, your boneheads in Congress, I mean, maybe this is why, I mean, your boneheads in Congress just moved us one step closer to war with China. And the reason that China has moved its warships into Taiwan is as a result of the United States sending members of Congress, once again, the Senate, into Taiwan. They're not even hiding anymore. First, it was Nancy Pelosi heading to Taiwan to stir up a hornet's nest. Now, just a few hours ago, another group of senators did it again. It was a surprise trip.
What it is a delegation of five senators who are coming in as a group, right? And this is their plane landing.
Yeah, this was their plane landing. So they, again, five senators just showing up to Taiwan, okay? This is and by the way, this is bipartisan this time, so it's not just Nancy Pelosi. But I saw this, I couldn't believe it. Going to Taiwan again, for what purpose? What purpose are we stirring up a hornet's nest?
Well, you
by
know,
sending?
When your coworker goes somewhere great and they're like, you should go there. It's really fun. And then in the Senate, they must have heard about it in the newsroom, in the lunchroom.
I guess. So this is why now, and we have the official tweet from Taiwan, because at first it was like, did they really just do this? Is this a United States aircraft flying into Taiwan once again? And by the way, all these people were tracking it. But here's the official tweet from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Taiwan. Vice Minister Yui extended the warmest of welcomes to Taiwan's longstanding friend, Senator Markey, and his cross-party delegation, Representative Garamendi, Representative Lowenthal, Representative Don Beyer, Representative Amada. We think the like-minded United States lawmaker, we thank them for their timely visit, their timely visit and unwavering support. What's timely about this? What's timely about this is you're in the middle of a frickin' hurricane right now.
Again, support, though, that not all the Taiwanese people want, right? Taiwanese politicians are happy for this validation, but not all Taiwanese people are.
And so why are they going? Like, this was the question I had, which is like, why? Why are you going here? What is the purpose of this? Again, we still haven't gotten a, which we'll get to Nancy Pelosi's side of this in a moment, but we still haven't gotten a straight answer from her as to why she went to Taiwan, other than, well, we'll get to that in a minute. So here's what they said. The five-member delegation led by Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts will meet with President Tsai Ing-wen and other officials, as well as members of the private sector. Oh, to discuss shared interests, including reducing tensions in the Taiwan Strait and investments in semiconductors. Oh, I see. So you're going to meet with the president, and the same thing we learned later from Nancy Pelosi, but it was not on her official
schedule,
that she met with Taiwan semiconductor manufacturers, right? And she met with TSMC.
Well, there may not be an issue with them meeting with, because, you know, the optics of being tough on China are that we want to reduce our dependence on Chinese imports, right? This is the political line that they want to feed us. Yes, mm-hmm. We're going to be tough on China. We want to reduce our dependence on China. And so the idea of moving that business into another place that is not China is maybe a legitimate line, right?
I suppose, but
it's not legitimate if all of them are investors inside of these companies, as we know Nancy Pelosi was.
So you just, let's just be clear about this. You just passed a CHIPS Act. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we just passed a CHIPS Act, which is billions of dollars for semiconductor industry and billions of dollars for these manufacturers in Taiwan to also have additional subsidies and plants inside the United States. So these big tech companies are doing just fine, right? These big tech companies, by the way, have had massive, massive profits. Paul Pelosi Sr. is an investor in, has made $5 million investments in future stock options within the semiconductor space, right before her visit, which is stunning, and before the CHIPS Act passes. So all of these questions about why are you flying there right now in the middle of this hornet's nest when China just released a white paper last week telling us exactly what their plans are here?
Right.
Why do this? So this coming war with China, it's becoming more and more ominous. And Gordon Chang says war is coming with the United States and the United States or with China. And he says the United States won't stand a chance. Listen.
Well, China has already announced military drills, the Eastern Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army. I think that it's going to be actually war. And the reason, you know, Henry Kissinger in the Wall Street Journal article said, look, we are on the edge of war with Russia and China. And I actually think that he is right. You know, you were talking about today is marking 1 year after the fall of the Afghan government. Well, 1 year ago today, China issued propaganda saying that when they invaded Taiwan, not if, that when they invaded Taiwan, that the island would fall within hours and the U.S. would not come to help.
That the island would fall in hours and the United States would not come to help. I mean, how are we going to send hundreds of warships to this region, thousands of miles away from the United States?
Right. One or two. The logistics makes sense, right? But given the scope of the Chinese military,
1.5 billion people. Like even if we had some sort of an attack, you know, and we were able to use Solomon Islands or some of the other bases that we have there, we were able to, you know, line up our bases in Guam. And I mean, think how devastating this would be. Absolutely devastating. And as we had the soundbite from General McGregor last week. He said, you know, look, they can absorb anything that we throw at them. They, you know, you'd be a ship of fools to try to attack a fort. That's the thing, right? And so we'd literally have to mount an armada like the likes of D-Day to try to do something at that scale. It's not going to happen. And anything we throw at them, they will absorb. And we are literally playing with fire right now. Now, Henry Kissinger, he did an interview this weekend in the Wall Street Journal, where he lays out why he believes we are at the edge of war with Russia and China on the issues, which he says we partly created. This is Henry Kissinger. There he is. He's 99 years old. He's working on a new book. He says, without any concept of how this is going to end or what it's supposed to lead to, and I'm going to read this now, this quote. He says, This is from the Wall Street Journal piece. On the question of Taiwan, Mr. Kissinger worries that the United States and China are maneuvering towards a crisis. And he counsels steadiness on Washington's part. The policy that was carried out by both parties has produced and allowed the progress of Taiwan into an autonomous democratic entity and has persevered between China and the United States for 50 years, he says. One should be very careful, therefore, in measures that seem to change that basic structure.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of rich, right, coming from him. And I was surprised at this interview, this sort of like, let's have cooler heads prevail coming from Henry Kissinger. And what he is saying is, look, don't upset this right now. Don't upset this structure. This is a fight that we should not be picking.
Caitlin Johnstone tweeted this on Henry Kissinger because Henry Kissinger is not only a warmonger, he's a war criminal multiple times over. And I love the sort of normalizing of this guy now, but like, we're literally turning to like Henry Kissinger for clearer heads prevail.
To be the adult in the room.
Which is kind of, maybe he's 99 years old. Maybe he's suddenly turning a new page. I don't know.
But this is now what we're seeing from previous warmongers, right? Like that George Bush now is these Freudian confession type things, which are these people who had their days of raging battle saying, that's not all it's cracked up to be. You have to live with yourself later.
So Caitlin Johnstone says this about Henry Kissinger. She says, I don't know about you, but to me, this warning is much, much more ominous coming from a blood-soaked swamp monster than it would be from some anti-imperialist peace activist who was speaking from outside the belly of the imperial machine. This man is a literal war criminal who, as a leading empire manager, helped to unleash unfathomable horrors all around the world, the consequences of which are still being felt today. And he's warning us. Warning us. Not to do this. And he loves this stuff. Like, this is his, this is like war. Yes, I'm right there. Can I try to foment a coup in some country? But can I bomb a small village?
Again, right, this is someone with perspective that when you wage wars like this and then have to live with yourself later, it doesn't feel so good.
Do you think he's reformed?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I think that maybe he realizes that this is a bigger fight than those that he picked. And no. I mean, China, is there a bigger fight? Presumably Russia, but we're managing to dance around that one.
I know. Let's ask our chat. Do you guys think that that he's reformed? That he is now at 99 years old, a reformed war criminal, warmonger, and he's given up that past.
Why would he say this then? Like, to sell a book as like, I am now a true North politician or
maybe, I don't know, but he's also, I don't know, at 99 years old, people are saying no in the chat. No, no, I don't see it.
So then, I mean, I really did stare at this article for a long time and think, why is the Wall Street Journal publishing this?
Well, they label him a diplomat, which is also laughable, right? So they frame him as a diplomat.
Yeah.
In the same way that they frame, Condoleezza Rice and Madeleine Albright as diplomats. Like, right. They're, unaccountable for all of the horrors that they've brought to the world through their actions, through their invasions, through their coups, through their,
I think that what infuriated me so much is this, allowing someone to rebrand themselves as a peaceful voice, right? Like, shouldn't some of these people, that ship has sailed? It's like Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. Like, no rebranding yourself into something that is just like fun and affable. Like, some careers should not have that transition.
Yeah, can like Goebbels, come out, or any of these old guys from the Third Reich, and now they're like, well, in hindsight, I we don't want to get into these types of wars. I mean, that's the equivalency here. I mean,
yeah.
That's literally the equivalency of this guy. But we normalize him. We call him a diplomat, does the Wall Street Journal. Anyway, another big angle to this, of course, is the Nancy Pelosi side. And so we're looking at Taiwan, we're looking at China, we're looking at Paul Pelosi Jr. more closely now. We've been staying on this story because I think it's important. When Nancy Pelosi was first elected, She had a net worth of $3 million. There's Nancy Pelosi, and that's Paul Pelosi Jr. behind her on the recent trip to Taiwan. So when she was first elected, she had a net worth of about $3 million. Today, her net worth is over $150 million. Daily Mail article out today about Paul Pelosi Jr.'s Chinese investments. So now this is an interesting piece of this story. Why is Paul Pelosi Jr. a huge investor in Chinese telecom companies, while at the same time, his mom, Nancy Pelosi, has been arguing against corporatists and Chinese corporations taking over American government business or American corporations? And so, it's okay for her son to be investing very heavily in Chinese telecom companies. Despite her campaign, she's been adamant. We've got to get China's corporate influence out of the United States.
And beyond, right? They lobby for Chinese interest out of other nations too.
Right, out of Canada. The United States has pushed Canada to limit the amount of Chinese investment in Vancouver real estate. And so
that absolutely happens in Portugal. It happens in Spain. It happens all over Europe. The embassies, they're often they belabor the point that too much Chinese investment in your Western nation is going to be a problem for you. You should not allow it.
So, Philip, you can take the screen here. Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., is the second largest investor in a $22 million Chinese company. Oh, he's the second largest investor. Paul secretly accompanied mother on her controversial trip to Taiwan last week and met with other top Taiwanese officials. Paul worked for the telecoms companies, Borks Technologies, in a board or consultancy role and was awarded 700,000 shares for his services, making him the fifth and then later the second largest shareholder of this company. His ties to this Chinese firm were just revealed, so the Pelosi campaign has not revealed this information. At the same time that Pelosi aims to tackle Chinese government aggression abroad and its corporate influence in the United States.
I mean, even if this is benign, right? Even if there's some explanation that we can't see, at the very least, he was on a diplomatic trip on U.S. taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Right.
Well, according to her, no, at no expense to U.S. taxpayers.
So he booked his own flight. He wasn't even on the plane.
That we don't know.
He just happened to be in town at the same time as his mother.
Of course. So it says at no additional tax. This according to the Pelosi team. No additional tax expense to the U.S. taxpayer. But you have 8 warplanes taking Nancy Pelosi and her entourage to land in Taipei. So was Paul on a different flight? No, he was on the same flight, which means that taxpayer dollars, $90 million,
right,
were used to make sure that that flight landed in Taipei without issue. And then, of course, the new congressional delegation that just landed today, overnight. And again, taxpayer funded.
But also presumably in the room when certain, perhaps classified information was being discussed, or at the very least, private government information.
Sure.
So there are a lot of questions here.
Not presumed. He was there. He was there in photos. He's there sat right at the table. He was there, Paul Pelosi.
Now, remember the rules around Jared Kushner being denied his security clearance initially because he had not disclosed certain investments in certain countries. We cannot have different rules for different parties and their family members. So absolutely, the American taxpayer is due some answers about this.
So Nancy Pelosi still can't give us a straight answer like you want to. Like, if you want an answer,
I do.
I would love an answer. So she was asked, why did you go to Taiwan? First she said, it was a great trip. It was important. Well, why was it important? So that we could go to war with China? Is that why it was important? But no, she has a new answer for exactly why the real reason we went to Taiwan. Take a listen to Nancy Pelosi.
When I was a little girl, I was told at the beach, if I dug a hole deep enough, we would reach China. So we've always felt a connection there.
Oh, okay. I had that same, when I was at the beach growing up, if you dug a hole, you would go to China.
What?
Yeah. Like if you dug a hole deep enough at the beach, you would go to China. Like you'd reach China with your hole. And that's what she said. She said, that's why we have a deep connection to China. So that's why we went, because I was told as a little girl, when I would dig a hole, I would reach China.
Okay. cool.
Thanks, Nancy. We've got more news to go here on the show. We've got a lot more news on this Monday edition of Redacted. First of all, I hope you're subscribed to the channel. And one thing that really helps for us to reach a larger audience here on these, we have to battle the algorithm that tries to suppress the stories that we cover here on the show, because the mainstream media does not want you to hear the stories that we cover on this show. So please just smash that like button. It takes you 2 seconds. If you're on mobile, it's very easy to do. If you're watching us on your Roku or your Apple TV, I think you just swipe up on the little controller and there's the, you can do it right there. Just smash that like button. And hopefully you're subscribed to the channel as well, because we're almost at 1 million subscribers here at Redacted.
We are very excited. We're on the tip of our seat for it.
So all of you big thinkers, all of you people who are seeking the truth out there, like, welcome to the family. You are safe here with all of us.
Do you want us to pause before we move on, production team, so that we can sync, or just make a little small talk while you do something?
They're going to take care of it in the, with the, yeah. They got it.
They told us.
Yeah, they told us.
You guys have it? You don't need some small talk? Because I had some ready.
Well, we're probably going to have to, I just have to see if I can connect to your computer, because we're all having trouble doing that because of the whatever weird internet thing is going on. But yeah, we're going to try to resync. So
Don't go anywhere, guys. We're going to try to resync our audio here in a second here. So if you see a slate come up that says technical difficulties, it'll just take 2 seconds and we'll be back. So if that happens, don't go anywhere. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Movement. Our friends at Movement started in a little tiny apartment in Southern California. Two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules with their fair prices, unexpected colors, clean original designs. It's spelled MVMT, and you can see there the URL on your screen. You'll get 15% off when you go to MVMT, which is movement.com/redacted. You get 15% off. They've got great eyewear as well, blue light glasses, regular glasses, unbelievable. My favorite sunglasses that I own come from Movement. And these, by the way, these glasses that I wear right here on my face right now are my favorite. These are from Movement. These are my actual glasses, prescription, but they're also the blue light glasses as well. So I can protect my eyes from the blue light from my screens at nighttime. They make beautiful watches that are totally affordable, won't break the bank, all designed out of their California headquarters. I love the Gunner watch that I have, and my glasses. I wear them every day. I've been wearing them for a while now, and I love the sunglasses too. They're minimal and they look fantastic. They have a look of quality, $400 to $500, but way, way less expensive than that. So they look like they're really expensive, but they're way cheaper. So I want you to go there right now and check them out and see everything they have to offer. Join the Movement and get 15% off today just by going. You get free shipping and free returns. If you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join Movement, get 15% off. Just go to that URL right there on your screen, mvmt.com/redacted. Again, that's mvmt.com/redacted to get 15% off, free shipping, free returns. Try them out. If you need some new glasses or you want a nice sporty watch, try them out right now. So our thanks to Movement for supporting the show.
Let's talk about Ukraine, shall we?
Yes, let's do it. Big stories out of Ukraine today.
Okay, well, who is shooting down who? In and around the nuclear power plant in Ukraine. This is still unclear, but Ukrainian President Zelensky said that whoever shoots around this area will now become a target of Ukrainian intelligence and the Ukrainian army. Let's listen to him say it.
Окупанти намагаються надзвичайно цинічно залякувати людей, використовуючи Запорізьку атомну станцію. Вони фактично прикриваються станцією, щоб обстрілювати Нікополь і Марганець. Звичайно, на це має бути реакція потужна. Українські дипломати, представники держав-партнерів зроблять усе, щоб нові санкції проти Росії обов'язково блокували російську атомну галузь. І абсолютно всі посадовці держави-терориста, а також ті, хто їм допомагає у цій шантажистській операції з атомною станцією, мають відповідати міжнародному суді. Це обов'язково буде, а кожен російський військовий, який або стріляє по станції, або стріляє, прикриваючись цією станцією, повинен розуміти, що стає особливою мішенню для нашої розвідки, для наших спецслужб, для нашої...
Okay, so those are interesting words, right? Because he's saying that it is Russia shooting in and around this area. But if you shoot, we're going to start shooting at you, which is interesting, right? Because last week, Russia showed video that indicated that the shelling was being done by Ukraine.
With both countries blaming each other for shelling in recent days. This video from a week ago claims to show the aftermath of a Ukrainian attack. We can't independently verify the footage, but it comes from the Russian occupiers who now control Enerhodar, where the Zaporizhia plant is located.
Okay, now over the weekend, Russia released these images of the shells that were dropped at the Zaporizhia plant. They are brimstone missiles, which is a type of missile that was given to Ukraine by the United Kingdom. So now, of course, you
let's put a pin in that a second.
Okay.
By the United Kingdom. So these are missiles that
come from the West.
That come from the West, NATO funded, British, of course, you know, and arguably even more than, you know, NATO's involvement or the US involvement, the UK has been, I mean, Boris Johnson himself flew there to talk them down from having a peace accord.
Yes, unabashedly so. The United Kingdom has been just as unabashed as the United States at how they support Ukraine with weapons and money and aid. Right. And so, okay, this seems to be evidence of said weapons, right? Of course, naysayers could say, of course, Russia could have littered these about. And that is what the Western media perhaps would go with if they would even bother to pick up this story, right? Because these are images being released by Russia, and they are saying this is evidence that it is not us. Russia has continued to invite the investigative body, the IAEA, I don't have that acronym in front of me, saying, come and investigate then, right? And we'll get to their response in a second. But moments before the show today, we had this breaking news, which is that, go ahead.
Yes. So this just happened right before the show, which is that the Russian MiG chased a British spy plane out of the sky. So here it is. It was a Russian MiG-31 chases a British spy plane out after it violates Russian airspace, according to the Russian Ministry of Defense. The United Kingdom and its NATO allies fly aerial reconnaissance and strike mission exercises along Russia's northern, western, southern, and eastern air and maritime borders on a regular basis, with the Russian Air Force scrambling fighter jets whenever foreign jets, bombers, or unmanned aerial vehicles approach too close to Russian territory. A Royal Air Force surveillance and electronics warcraft violated Russian airspace in the Barents Sea, and they scrambled to intercept it, pushing it out of the area. So again, and by the way, these have been increasing. So what the hell is going on here? So British shells are wine. And again, this is where Russia has said, we literally before the end of August want to have the International Atomic Energy Agency here. Do not wait until September.
Yes.
Get in here now. Russia is saying, get in here now, investigate what's being attacked at this nuclear power plant, and you're going to see where these shells are coming from. They're not coming from Russia, which has been alleged. And this is really what the Wall Street Journal is even saying. I love this Wall Street Journal headline.
Right. And in fact, Russia says that the European Union and Ukraine are undermining the investigative body from conducting this investigation, because they're saying now is a good time. You know, how about now? Maybe now, like right now. And
what are they waiting for?
They don't seem to be coming. We're going to get to their response in a second. But the Western media seems to have made up its mind that it's Russia doing the attack. In fact, look at the headline on the Wall Street Journal today. Russia's goal in attack on nuclear plant is to take the energy, Ukraine says. So it's interesting, these two explanations that you get from reading the article. The explanation they give is that Russia wants to steal the power by severing its connection to Ukraine's remaining territory, according to Ukrainian leaders, international nuclear power experts, and the plant staff. Okay, so they want to sever its connection to Ukraine's remaining territory, right? Again, Russia has controlled this plant since the springtime, or since the winter.
Since March,
yeah. And Ukrainian workers staff it. So then the next paragraph goes on to talk about how Russia, in fact, wants to reroute this power, not cut it off or blow it up or anything or take it, but also that Russian technicians have openly discussed rerouting electricity to territories occupied by Russia and eventually back to Russia. Senior Russian officials, including Deputy Prime Minister Marat Kuznulin, have publicly pledged to integrate Zaporizhia with Russia's energy system, or force Ukraine to pay for the electricity. So which is it? They want to destroy it so Ukrainians can't have it, or they want to steal it for themselves? Because both can't be true.
Well, as Scott Ritter said last week on our show, in our interview with Scott, he said, no, they're very likely going to reroute the power so that it's not going into Ukraine, that it's going into Russia. That's going to likely happen.
Right, because so then, that is more harmful, right? Whereas now,
well,
Zelensky...
What do you mean more harmful? You mean harmful to...
To Ukraine, right? So like...
Well, yeah. But so the two arguments are that Russia is attacking its own nuclear power plant that it's guarding right now, which makes no sense and is laughable, right? But that's the argument, of course, still coming from the Western media and from Ukrainian authorities, right? Then the other side of it is that they're going to reroute the power and use it for themselves into Russia, into that eastern section of Ukraine. And absolutely the case, that's probably going to happen.
So right.
Both things can't be true. Why would you destroy your own power plant?
But it's also interesting, Zelensky threatening to put sanctions on Russian nuclear energy. Now, if you go back a couple weeks ago, the report that we did on nuclear power showed that Russia is actually a global leader in nuclear power. They have more technology and more plants being built out than most countries in the world. And so how exactly is Zelensky going to sanction Russian nuclear energy inside of Russia when they already are a leader with his popularity, which I don't want to deny, Zelensky's popularity has proven to be a valuable currency.
But I think this, and by the way, his little like face to camera selfie video that he just produced is, I think this is, we're starting to see more of these because they're losing the propaganda war. And now the Western media is starting to turn on them in a big way. We're seeing this in Newsweek. We saw this. We saw the Guardian piece. We're seeing other pieces now where he's having to step up these video releases and trying to get out in front of the message by him getting there with a camera and telling his side of the story
and talking in a threatening manner. He has not said things like that, like we're coming for you, you know, that kind of, you are now enemy of the state. He's been mostly appealing to Western nations to defend them. This is really a different, I want to say, tone.
So again, the International Atomic Energy Agency, right? They have not been allowed in, right? They have not been allowed in so far.
Well, it's interesting because the head of the International Atomic Energy Association, the IAEA, that's not an easy acronym. There are no consonants in it. It really bothers me. They said last week that their head had rescheduled a vacation in order to deal with this. But what did they do to deal with it? Well, on Friday, they released this statement saying, we've been in communication with Ukraine. They seem to be up and running for now. It doesn't seem to be a threat for now. It says the IAEA has not been able to visit this power plant since before the conflict began almost half a year ago. Since early March, it is controlled by Russian forces, but the Ukrainian staff are continuing to operate the plant. So, okay, but again, Russia continues to say, come in right now. Right now is a good time. Russia now is saying that the European Union and Ukraine are undermining them, this agency, from conducting the investigation. So, you know, it doesn't seem like to be a very credible story because they're saying we're in communication with Ukraine. It seems to be okay for now. Like, don't you exist to validate those things?
Right.
Like, I also can have a Zoom call and hear them tell me it's okay, but I'm not an expert in that. So how about what your expertise is? You go in. I mean, I get this, like, well, maybe they're afraid because it's nuclear, but that's kind of their thing. Like, we can't give them that pass, right?
Right. I mean, that's garbage. I mean, they would go into much worse areas, you know, going into Iran or going into North Korea or going into other places. Like, don't give me that right now.
Sure.
On top of that, though, like, you know, the reason you're not allowed to go in is because they would exactly see, as Scott Ritter said, where these shells came from. You'd be able to, you know, be able to chart the azimuth of it. You'd be able to see exactly that it came from this direction, not that direction, just based on the line. You'd be able to see where these shells are coming from. And the fact that they're British shells landing there. Like,
yes.
You know, is Russia using British shells to shell their own controlled nuclear power plant, the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe with 6 nuclear reactors? No, not likely. Meanwhile...
Yes. And I mean, if you scan into those images, right, they're images, they're not written in Russian or Ukrainian. It's English. I don't know if that, you know. So meanwhile, people are fleeing this region, you know, with good cause. But where are they fleeing to? Many, according to TASS, are fleeing to Russia. The Russian government saying they have issued over 30,000 passports to people who are applying for Russian passports in this region who want to get out of there. So that's interesting. Also noteworthy, worth noting. I didn't even know the brain could switch those words, but it did, that the Ukrainian parliament just today approved a big budget increase to its military spending. Parliament authorized an additional $7.3 billion to be spent in military activity through domestic borrowing. I'm interested in what this means, because who inside of Ukraine is lending to the army? Like domestic, huh? Because, I mean, we know that the United States is willing to, and other Western nations.
There's plenty of oligarchs inside of Ukraine who are multimillionaires, billionaires, right? Mm-hmm. Who have made a lot of money off of Western money flowing into that country over the past 8 years. We know that. We've documented that here on the show, driving Lamborghinis.
Well, we know that the West is offering all of this lend-lease weaponry. Right. And all of this aid in loans, right? So it's not, but this specific budget increase is not through foreign loans. It's domestic.
Dust G in our chat says, Ukraine is a Wall Street hedge fund for weapon and tax dollar laundering. Yes. That should be their motto. Okay. Come to Ukraine, where we will launder your money. I mean, it is the most corrupt country in Europe, right? One of the most corrupt countries in Europe. I think it held the lead as the most corrupt. So when money and all of the stuff flows into this country, where does it go? It just gets laundered.
And the banking specifically is high on the corruption scale in terms of international investors, or it wasn't known for that before this war.
Right. Yeah. We've got more news to get to here on the show. We are going to be talking about what's going on with President Trump, some breaking news on the Trump front just a few minutes ago. We heard from the former president on something that they just had stolen from his house. Now, we threw this out there earlier. Is it stolen or borrowed? Did the government come in and steal it?
Well, it's not borrowed, but it does. And so the question is, was it legally confiscated or accidentally confiscated or...
We'll leave it up to you.
And
you
guys, I was watching the chat after you did that, and it was like screen after screen after screen of stolen. It was
stolen.
I hear what
like
you're
I said,
saying.
You know, if I got my dog, if the government comes in is like, we're gonna take your dog, and they leave and they give me a slip of paper, I'm gonna say they either stole it or someone in the chat said they kidnapped your dog.
Now, when I ask these, like, okay, let's play devil's advocate, maybe this is legitimate question, I get called naive all the time in the chat room. I'm not saying this. I am just leaving room to ask legitimate questions, okay? So stop it. Stop calling me naive. I'm not saying I believe it. Let's just leave space.
Devil's advocate.
For these questions that may be naive, okay.
So, yeah, I say we do a poll. I don't know if we can do a poll or not, because someone's Tegrity fams is saying, let's do a poll. Okay, we'll put up a poll and put this on the screen and see, is it stolen or borrowed?
Okay, so the question is about the former president's passport. But first, before we get to this breaking news, I want to tell you about our show sponsor over at Upside. Now, you know, of course, that inflation is hitting all of us hard, from the pump to the grocery store to your favorite restaurant. Of course, this hurts. This is why we use an app called Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys anything, gas, groceries, dines out. Whenever you make a purchase, you should use Upside. So it's kind of like a collation of all of the deals and discounts around you, plus your favorite loyalty card, all in one place. You don't want to be like those people who have your little tiny loyalty cards on your keychain, and then your keychain's like this. No, you can use Upside app and get discounts and promotions all over without all of those annoying little loyalty cards. So get started. You download the free Upside app, and then you use our promo code REDACTED and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Then you just claim an offer for whatever it is you're buying upside, and you can check in on businesses, pay as usual with your credit or debit card, and then you get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you're eligible to earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. So download the free Upside app, use the promo code redacted to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. So that's $5 or more cash back with your first purchase using our code redacted.
So let's talk about President Trump and the very latest on the Mar-a-Lago raid. The fallout continues. It's getting worse. And I think if like Democrats thought that this was going to be the thing that would shut Trump up and that they wouldn't have him in 2024, boy, did they make a stupid mistake, if that's what they thought, right?
Right. So the question now that we are debating is, did former President Trump commit espionage? And if so, what will become of the U.S. while he is tried and possibly convicted? Buckle up, because this is a bumpy one. But the most timely element of this story is that a few hours ago, the former president posted this on Truth Social. He said, "Wow, in the raid by the FBI of Mar-a-Lago, they stole my 3 passports, one expired, along with everything else. This is an assault on a political opponent at a level never seen before in our country. Third world." Now, this is a little bit strange because, one, passports were not listed on the receipt of documents that the government issued publicly. We are going to look over that list in a minute. Two, this talk of 3 passports is really throwing people. One, he says, is expired. It's not unusual for him to have 2 others. One was most likely a diplomatic passport, and one was a personal. And also, being labeled a flight risk, if they took this on purpose because they thought he was a flight risk, well, that's a judicial decision. A judge would have to do that. And that is, we're not told of that in the search and seizure documents. So that also is interested. So given that he has not been charged with anything, it's likely he could just apply for a new one if maybe they were bundled up in stuff that was taken and they were taken accidentally, or he could ask for him back. So there's a lot of questions about this, because is the government calling him a flight risk, right? Would that be something like, he does have the ability to take his own plane out somewhere where he wouldn't need a passport, right? So again, many questions here around this.
Yeah, and I guess now, like, you can't call up Jeffrey Epstein to like take his plane. You know, he's out of the picture.
Right.
So, you know,
why? Why do you know? How do you know where that plane is?
I don't know where that plane is, but I know a lawyer that knows Jeffrey Epstein that turned into a judge, that maybe he has some answers on that. But there are some big questions about all of this, right? So number one, are there different standards being applied to Trump than were applied to Hillary Clinton?
This is separate from the passport issue, though. This is just like the passport issue, though, I think is worth discussing before we talk about the search, because again, it's, was that taken intentionally? They were not supposed to take it unless a judge has,
I mean, if they
decided he's a flight risk.
Well, we don't know. I mean, if they were in a box or something, again, this is all conjecture, we don't know. But if they specifically see someone's passports and they take them, but they're not listed on the document, clearly he could ask for them back.
Yes.
Right. This could be a motion to just ask for them back. Now, I've heard it argued that you wouldn't want to ask for anything back right now while you're being investigated, because that would, I don't know, send up a red warning. I mean, but it's like, here's my passport. I need my passport. What are you doing here?
Right.
Is anyone, by the way, like, if they took like normal people's passports, right? I could see how it would be an issue. But the former president of the United States, not like is he going through like customs check at the border? Like, does he have to wait in that line?
I think,
like,
everybody has to.
Do you have your passport?
Customs. Everybody has to at least be greeted by customs.
But I mean,
agents.
Wouldn't he have like some sort of a diplomatic ability now? Like, you know, in the way that you'd have like a diplomatic immunity, where you have the black badge and you have the courier pouches that don't get investigated by customs because you're a diplomat. I mean, doesn't he get that for life if you're a president of the United States?
No, I don't think so.
I you would think so.
I kind of want to see, like, you know, Trump just standing in the regular, like, not even the pre-check line, just like, right, the regular, you know, TSA line. Like, you know, I don't think that happens. But I mean, yeah. I think something to point out about the passport too is the evidence starts and stops in that one, like, not tweet, but that one message he put out on Truth, that's, there's no other evidence that they have the passports.
Yes.
Right?
Because right. No,
so
because it's so that's, not
that's,
listed.
That's putting all the faith in that. Yep.
Yes, which is why this is a strange story, right?
So then maybe he tweets later or he sends out a Truth Social later, say, oops, my bad.
I found them.
They were in my bedside table. Don't worry about it. My three passports are back where I had them. Don't worry about it. You know, my Russian passport is back where I where I hid it.
Oh, we were just vacuuming and they got
misplaced.
They got misplaced. All right. So let's talk about the search warrant that the government used to help themselves to things inside of Trump, the former president's house. Now, it's interesting to look at this warrant because, again, you were bringing up these questions. Is there a different standard being applied to President Trump than was applied to Hillary Clinton? Because we have now a case to look at around this same Espionage Act and this same Document Collection Act, right?
Right, because if you have emails on a server at your house in Chappaqua, right, your own private server, and they are not within the confines of the United States government, then you have classified materials on those servers, on your private servers, right? And that technically, if we look at 1917, if we look at the Espionage Act of 1917, was started a few weeks after we entered World War I. So it's old. It's been revised many, many times throughout the ages. But at the heart of it is that you're not allowed to gather, take secret government information that could harm the government that you got it from.
Right. This is meant to keep us safer, right?
Well, you think.
Because it allows for government secret information to be in a place that's only with people that are trusted so that enemies could not exploit it.
Right. Like if we gave out secrets from one of our submarines that we were working on and we gave it to the enemy, we gave it to the Germans during World War I, or we, you know, gave them some sort of trench information during World War I, that could be used against us. That could harm our citizenry, right? That was the impetus for it in World War I.
Okay, so we want our law investigative bodies to prevent people with access to this information from mishandling it. We should collectively want this mm-hmm. in order to keep us safe, right? So the question remains then, is all of this accomplishing that goal, right? Was that accomplished with Hillary Clinton? Will it be accomplished with this raid on Trump? So let's just at least keep this as a shared goal, right? So first to the warrant, it gave law enforcement the right to do this search at any time in daylight hours. So no middle of the night thing. So you see here, it says only between 6 and 10 p.m. and before August 19th. Now, what is it they thought they would find? That's in Attachment A. So if we look at Attachment A, it says it has the locations to be searched include 45 office, all storage rooms, all other rooms or areas within the premises used or available to be used by the former president and his staff in which boxes or documents could be stored, including all structures or buildings on the estate. So this is where this Melania's closet business comes in, because obviously closet
in the basement
is a storage room, right? So, okay, that's why there was some outrage on that. Now, what is it they expected to find? Let's look at Attachment B. Any physical documents with classification markings along with boxes, right? B, information, including communication in any form. Any government and or presidential records created between now January 20th, 2017 was his inauguration and January 20th, 2021 when he left office, and any evidence of the knowing alteration, destruction or concealment of any government and or presidential records or documents with classification markings, right? So then what did they take? Let's look at the list. There's two pages here.
I'll rattle them off here. All right,
okay,
here.
Because passports is not one of them.
All right, let me get my spectacles on here so okay. I can read through these here. I got my property spectacles on here. All right, number one is executive grant of clemency for Roger Stone. They wanted the clemency grant for Roger Stone. They have the info about the president of France, a leather-bound box of documents, my leather-bound books. Various classified documents, potential presidential record.
Okay, I just want to stop you because TC is top secret. SCI is secret compartmented information. So these are rankings of like super secret and then super duper secret. basically.
Then binder of photos, handwritten note, box labeled A1, box labeled A12, blah, 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 blah. Miscellaneous top secret documents, miscellaneous confidential documents. That's just on the first page. Here's the second receipt that they handed him. Box labeled A, all these box numbers with A numbers. Miscellaneous secret documents, confidential document. Miscellaneous secret documents, confidential documents, secret, top secret, and top secret documents.
Okay, so boxes, and my guess is leather-bound documents would be where passport might have accidentally been, right?
Well, I like that it actually listed leather-bound box.
Right.
Which what is a leather-bound box? Is it like a treasure chest or?
Right.
Google it, Clayton.
That's his pirate.
See what comes up.
That's
Hang
his
on.
Pirate booty.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that up. Oh, that. I mean, I guess it's like it looks like a spell book, like a grimoire. What you wrap up in? That like, can't be
maybe
it.
Maybe it's a spell book.
So Trump had a copy of the Necronomicon, and the government wanted it, and that's what this was all about.
Yes. Like, exactly.
Although I keep my passports in a fireproof document bag. Those, you know, like.
So that would be listed here as right. Fireproof document bag, not leather bound box.
Leather is not fireproof. So.
So again, a lot of top secret, confidential, secret documents, super duper secret documents, above top secret that were in his house. And after the list was released, Trump issued a statement saying they could have had it any time they wanted it, and that includes long ago. All they had to do was ask. But my question too about this is, back 3 months ago, when the National Archives individuals were there with his team and the lawyers in the basement going through these documents for hours and hours and hours, where he even Mr. Trump walked down and said hi, how are you guys doing, and introduced himself. What then? Like, they knew this stuff was here. This is not a mystery. Why was there this, you know, why is there this problem now? His lawyer said he declassified a lot of this information. Actually, and a lot of it actually related to Operation Crossfire Hurricane, which is, of course, the Russiagate investigation. And he's been asking the Department of Justice to release that information publicly. So he's had it in his house, and in a binder of documents. He released and declassified a lot of this before he left office, so we don't know.
Also, I just want to point out one minor detail on page 2, if you can go back to list 2. Why the typo in the last line? Like, can't you correct that? This is, you're not typing it out. Do you see the bottom? Yeah. 28A, miscellaneous taupe secret documents. Like, can we get this one right, please? Like, I think this is kind of an important document.
Almost there in our chat. Thank you for the super chat. Says Trump had a standing order that said any documents that he took off site would be declassified. And I think you said, and I missed it, went by, but he said Hillary did not have that capability unless Bill declassified them while he was president.
I think she actually did. We're going to get to that in a second. It's not just, you know, sort of like a kingmaker, like I declassified these and then I'm taking them, right? There's protocol to that. It seems strange that he's saying they could have had it. All they had to do is ask. And then he would be working with these investigators, them saying, we want all of this, and him saying, got it, I'll give you half and then keep the rest in my private residence. Like, you would think of a better hiding place if you were intentionally going to hide these things than your own ass house. Like, that to me is also strange.
Conan Billy Bone in our chat says, you guys give so much damn rope to that con man. Hey, we're reporting the story here. And what I will say, what's unequivocal is what Michael Tracy tweeted just today. And he said that in 2017, the FBI opened a ludicrous counterintelligence investigation into Trump. By then, the sitting president, based on that idea that his foreign policy views could constitute a, quote, national security threat. It was based on his tweets. Literally, the investigation started because of his tweets. That was the point of no return in obliterating their credibility, says Michael Tracy. He goes on to say, in 2017, counterintelligence investigation launched by now CNN employee Andrew McCabe was expressly predicated on ideological and political grounds. But now we're just supposed to assume FBI brass gave up on that radically fallacious investigatory angle. And he points to a 2019 tweet that he made back in, yeah, this is January 12th of 2019, where he talks about Lisa Page, acknowledges that the impetus for the Russia asset investigation was opened after Trump fired Comey. It was ideological in nature, based on tired Cold War 2.0 tropes and the need to defend America's moral authority. So basically confirms the FBI was acting politically, he says, and Lisa Page confirms that. And then Andrew McCabe, of course, who started all of this, is now at CNN. That should tell you a lot. So we're not, you know, we're not giving, I mean, we're not giving anybody any rope. We're covering how this, the politics of today and using these political offices as weapons, you're weaponizing certain departments. We saw it under Obama. We saw it happen at the Cincinnati IRS office, weaponizing the IRS to go after political opponents. So that is without
a doubt. But that is an overarching narrative of like, of what it feels like is, you know, Trump getting hit from all angles. And I validate how that feels, but every investigation has people on it that have to just look at what is in front of them and open the books and say, what is it that's here? Is there something actionable? You know, I think that
most... it starts politically, though.
Sure, right? But, I mean, that's the point. Let's sort of go through what is actually here, right? And whether or not there is a standard for this, because what's mentioned on this search warrant is U.S. Code 793, right? Which is the code for gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. In 2016, Hillary Clinton was being investigated for the same thing. So we have a precedence of powerful people being investigated for this same thing. And we have to ask, are there two different standards for different parties? Or is there one standard for privileged people and a different for non-privileged people? I think that is
what's... Well, I think both things can be true, right? There's absolutely the case that if you've got money and you've got power, that, you know, you look, we saw the favor. How in the world was a guy like Jeffrey Epstein, who had already was already arrested, right? And he was already, I mean,
yeah.
And then he was able to go and still curry favor with the likes of Bill Gates and President Clinton. And still, like, how does a guy like that, who was brought up on, like, was already being looked at very, very closely for what he was doing, then get involved again and still get all sorts of doors open for him? If that happened to you or me, doors would be slammed on our faces.
Right. But again, we're working this conversation out of the shared goal that we want national secrets only in the hands of benevolent people, right? That this will keep us safe, right? So is it going to keep us safe to investigate these powerful people, Hillary Clinton and Trump? Is the standard the same, right? And will it then be applied to everybody, no matter if you're rich or powerful? Right. And so these are the questions that I don't think we are getting answers to, because in July of 2016, James Comey, head of the FBI at the time, referred to the investigation of Hillary Clinton. He referred it to the Justice Department and he recommended no criminal charges be brought. Right. Mm-hmm. He said, here's his memo from that date. He said the department had looked into whether or not there is information that classified information was improperly stored or transmitted on her personal system in violation of a federal statute, making it a felony to mishandle classified information either intentionally or in a grossly negligent way, or in a second statute, making it a misdemeanor to knowingly remove classified information from appropriate systems or storage facility. Now he goes on to detail exactly how she did that, using several different private servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department, and used numerous mobile devices to view and send emails on that personal domain. Okay, you know, a lot of us use our personal email for business, right? But we don't all handle top secret or classified documents. Comey goes on to conclude that there is evidence to support that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those government employees with whom she was corresponding about these matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for these conversations. In addition, the highly sensitive information, we found information that was properly classified as secret by the U.S. Intelligence Committee at the time.
Oh, interesting.
And was discussed on that email. So then why does he recommend no further prosecution, right? Because he gives this explanation that he found no criminal intent. He says, in looking back at our investigations into mishandling or removing that classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All cases prosecuted involve some combination of clearly intentional or willful mishandling of classified information. This is where people got stuck, right? This willful mishandling. Or vast quantities of material exposed in such a way as to support an interference of intentional misconduct or indications of disloyalty to the United States or efforts to obstruct justice. And we do not see these things. He goes on to say, because we don't think she was hacked, then nobody is not safe from it. Then it's okay. We looked, we saw that she was on unsecure servers, but we're pretty sure she wasn't hacked. And so no one was harmed. So no harm, no foul, right? So,
but if you look at if this is a violation of the Espionage Act, if that's what we're talking about.
No, we're not talking about the Espionage Act right now, even though that is in the search warrant. We're talking about the gathering and transmission or losing of information. Right. So.
Right. But what I'm saying is if that's where this is headed, which is a violation of the Espionage Act, then it's a matter of it didn't get in the hands of nefarious people. Right. It's there. We have it. We have it offsite. It's not in government hands. And they took this in. The gathering of it is the problem. Right. And it
was is gathered. That she basically was using it as personal information often. Like it's the same. Like she basically had it in her house. Her digital house. Right. And he had this information physically in his house. Of course, there are holes in both cases. Clinton's emails jumped from server to server. Many were never recovered. Some they had to like go to the person who was on the chain to see the original one. Trump says he was participating in his investigation for documents and then presumably held some back, right? The New York Times reports, though, that his legal team signed a statement saying that they gave them everything. So, you know, there are questions there. So maybe Trump would deserve prosecution and maybe Clinton would not, or maybe both of them were protected because they were powerful. Which one would be worse, right? And so this newsletter this weekend I read from David French at the Dispatch, and I just really wanted to leave him with the last word because this is the thing that's really upsetting me and turning my stomach. He says, if Trump went beyond Clinton in his efforts to conceal and cover up his misdeeds, including defying a subpoena and falsely asserting he turned over all of the classified information in his possession, then he may face criminal consequences for obstruction, even if his initial conduct wasn't materially different from Clinton's. The bottom line is deeply disheartening. Two of the most powerful and prominent politicians in the United States engaged in conduct that virtually any other American would be prosecuted for. They have placed the system under great strain, and the system is buckling. It remains to be seen whether Donald Trump's conduct was so much worse than Hillary Clinton's, than prosecution is. If so, then it's both legal and just. Indeed, the entire issue may be so fraught with peril that the DOJ may decide to merely seize the documents without any further proceedings, which is what I think that's my prediction, but let's just put that aside. But if Trump did break the law and is not prosecuted, we can look back at this pivotal moment in history and know why. July 5th, 2016, the Comey memo. Because the FBI set an extraordinary standard for prosecuting powerful people for mishandling our nation's most precious secrets. And we should not change that standard now just because there's a collective dislike of Donald Trump. So this is the super uncomfortable question that we have to collectively come to terms with, not just because we like or don't like Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. That is the wrong way to look at this. Right? The right way is it fair and does it make us safer? And this is the thing that is so upsetting, is because if we see two different standards or we see a different standard for privilege, it's an indication of a broken system and an incredibly unfair one and sad.
But I think it's already here. I mean, we see it. I mean, look at the way that, you know, all of these people are handled. Look at the way Nancy Pelosi, look at the way that members of Congress are treated. They get to have all manner of sort of insider trading, enriching themselves on the backs of like secret committee hearings that they get to have. And Nancy Pelosi comes into office with $3 million net worth And because of all of the different things that she's involved in, she's able to explode her wealth while she's a public servant. Like, she's in the United States Congress,
yeah,
and making, now she's worth over $140 million. Of course it's privilege.
Yeah.
It's access. Like, I think we'd be totally naive to sit here and say that these people aren't able to, you know, they aren't able to take advantage of a system that provides,
sure,
incredible privilege to them.
The problem is that so many people online are, you know, like, oh, but her emails is a throwaway term, like that was nothing. And it's uncomfortable to say that wasn't nothing. There was something there, and there was a standard that was set, and either we apply it to Donald Trump or we don't, right? We have to look at both of them fairly. And they both look like sort of neglectful collection of documents or willful. I'm not sure, right? But we can't judge this on whether or not we like these people or we wanted them elected or not, which I think was a mistake that I made at the time, thinking like, oh, the emails, that's just, you know, whatever. It's not.
No, you go to lengths to set up a private server in your home. And you, I mean, come on, like, you, it's premeditated. You have to meet with a team to go and do it. And then, of course, then we later learn Christopher Steele dossier. We learn about all of these, yeah, other pieces that led to FISA warrants and all sorts of things being led out of a fake Christopher Steele dossier that was fabricated by the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Right.
So if premeditated to the point of setting up a private email server, setting up this so that it was outside of government oversight, so that you could create this entire Russiagate narrative. I mean, again, I mean, the conspiracy theorist in me, but why else go to that length to set this stuff up if you're not going to use it for nefarious reasons or something else? But meanwhile, the Espionage Act, I want to come back to this because Rand Paul yesterday has taken a stance on this, saying the Espionage Act was abused from the beginning to jail dissenters of World War I. It is long past time to repeal this egregious affront to the First Amendment, repeal the Espionage Act, the Future of Freedom Foundation. And of course, look, that's a picture of Julian Assange, right? So the, yes, reason that Julian Assange is being extradited to the United States is because of the Espionage Act, right?
Yes.
So again, think how wide-reaching this is, right? If he is prosecuted in the United States, think about what that does to press freedoms, to be able to, they get, you know, think about Watergate, the Afghanistan papers, the Panama papers, all manner of like private classified information, documents that are handed over to the press and expose. Think about Edward Snowden, all of these things, right? That's how we learn about these governments taking advantage of people. And think about press freedoms, and people would be terrified. I think people would be absolutely terrified in, yeah, the press to cover stories like this if they knew they could be held accountable as, up to the Espionage Act.
Yes. Yeah. So troubling questions to face as Americans, I feel like, and we'll see what comes of this. If this is the end of it and they just take the documents and then that's it, it will be interesting because if not, we would have a trial, right? Yeah. A full trial. And, it's a punch to the gut to ask yourself, would the nation survive that? As it is.
Well, I think one of the, go ahead. Finish. I was going to say, I think one of the kind of, I don't know that we really covered on it, but I think part of what's behind like the urgency is that if there are nuclear secret documents, and then if you look at like the $2 billion that the Saudis just paid to Jared Kushner while visiting Mar-a-Lago recently at like the
right,
LIV, whatever the new golf thing is, like, I think that like, if there is something there, there could very well be something in that, like an actual, like, we want to say this is unprecedented in American history, but if a president or like the close people to a president actually deliberately transferred nuclear secrets to a foreign government, I mean, that would be, that's unprecedented.
Yes.
You know, so it's just interesting to me. That's something I'm keeping my eye on, is that part of the story.
Well, also I'm keeping my eye on that. You mentioned the Jared Kushner piece of this. So people wondering whether or not that was the mole, like why $2 billion richer, yeah, now, like there, you know, who stood to gain from this? Who stands to gain from this, right? That's where you look for this informant level, and people today saying, pointing the finger at Jared Kushner. So I'm not. I'm just saying that's what people are pointing at, and he suddenly is $2 billion richer. So interesting. Interesting. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. We've got more news we're going to get to. We're going to cover the latest on this CDC cover-up as it relates to the spike proteins and adverse effects. We're going to talk about this really, really troubling story that what the CDC is hiding. We're going to do that and take some of your super chats. So any questions you have here, throw them in here. We will take them as much as we can on tonight's show.
Super comments as
super
well.
Super comments.
Super contributions.
And rumbles, I guess they're called. But first, my fellow Americans, if you have an IRA, a 401k, or a savings account, things are scary out there. I don't need to tell you. The Biden administration has already printed more money in the past 2 years than the previous 100 years combined. And they're not stopping. The national debt hit a record $30 trillion. Oh, and by the way, the Biden White House, you know, they're pushing for this Inflation Reduction Act, of course, which will it really actually reduce inflation at all? Or is it just another printing of money? Inflation is the highest we've seen since 1982. It's only a matter of time before the House of Cards comes crashing down. If you have retirement savings, your money could be at serious risk. I want you to talk to our friends at Gold Co. to see how you can protect your retirement with gold and silver before it's too late. They're going to give you $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. So what you do is you get your gold report by just going to the website on your screen, go to redactedlikesgold.com and get your free gold kit and sign up with them. And then you can go through the process and talk with them about it. But they'll actually send you can get physical silver, physical gold sent to your house, or you can have it stored professionally at an offsite, which is always a smart move. Make sure you have a proper safe at your house. But again, do not be investing in government currency, government fiat currency, which every fiat currency in world history has collapsed. Every government currency in world history has collapsed. Do you think that ours is going to survive? I don't. So anyway, Gold Co. will give you $10,000 or more in free silver when you open a qualifying account. Go to that website on the screen, redactedlikesgold.com. They're big supporters of our show, and we thank them for supporting what we do here, independent journalism, covering the stories that you will not see in the mainstream media. So thanks to Gold Co. Be sure, guys, to smash that like button. It really, really helps to push us further out into the algorithm. So please do that. And make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We're nearing our 1 million subscribers. So I'm curious which one of you will be our 1 millionth subscriber. It'll be cool to see if there can be like a notification on that. So we're excited about that. All right, let's talk about this. So since the start of the pandemic, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, has maintained that when you take these experimental drugs, they won't last long in your body. That's what they told us, right? That's what they told us on their website. That was the beauty, they said, of the mRNA technology, that if you went to the CDC's website before this weekend, you could read all about it. You could read how on the CDC's website that, wow, if you took this jab, the area where you would take it, it would dissipate. It would go away. It would disappear. Your body would then learn how to deal with this. And then that spike protein would dissolve and be out of your system. No need to worry about it, right? And so if you go to the CDC's website, that's what it used to say until this weekend, when the CDC suddenly decided to remove the mention of how long the spike protein stays in your body. So the CDC has now updated its website with its guidance. So here's what it used to say on their website. There's a big red X through it. So that is no longer on their website. Facts about mRNA. And this is what the CDC's website says. The mRNA and spike protein do not last long in the body, according to the CDC. Our cells break down mRNA from these vaccines. They get rid of it within a few days after you get it. Scientists estimate that the spike protein, like other proteins our bodies create, may stay in the body up to a few weeks. Oh, well, it's interesting. Because a number of doctors said immediately that that's not the case. And the founder, the creator of the mRNA technology himself, Dr. Robert Malone, was quick to issue notes to the FDA and the CDC saying that is not true. This is not accurate. And here is the truth about this information. Trisha Flanagan tweeted this. She's a biochemist. She says, I know exactly why the CDC deleted this information. I'm a biochemist in immunology, oncology, and have said from day one that there's no off switch with this technology. More soon. She's not the only one. Dr. Peter McCullough, hundreds of other doctors also came forward very concerned about this, about the spike protein question. There was never enough time to test these because they needed to allow enough time to be able to test how long, and just by looking at animals wasn't enough.
Oh, no. In fact, Kim Iverson reported on her show just last week that, the animals were culled within 2 weeks of receiving the trials.
Right.
And so they were never able to say whether or not there were lasting adverse effects because they were put down within 2 weeks of their vaccines. And so they also could not ever say how long the mRNA technology stayed around in their system because they terminated their lives. I don't know what I'm allowed to say on YouTube, so I'm being careful about those things. And a lot of people were punished for saying this very, very same thing about mRNA until now.
Well, this is on YouTube. Okay, this video that I'm about to show you is on YouTube. And it's with Robert Malone, Steve Kirsch, and Brett Weinstein on the Dark Horse Show, doctors, all of them, and specifically talking about spike protein. I want you to listen to Brett Weinstein and Steve Kirsch, and then as they toss it to Robert Malone about these problems that the FDA knew about these problems with the spike protein, because Dr. Robert Malone himself documented it and then told them about it. Here, take a listen.
Normally, when you vaccinate someone, the vaccine goes in the shoulder and it stays in the shoulder, in the shoulder area. And what happens is the antibodies are generated and they attack the this antigen in the shoulder and it wipes it out and we're good. But what Byron Brittle did is he did a FOIA request to the Japanese government to look at the biodistribution data. And what he discovered is that it doesn't stay in the shoulder where we all thought it should stay. It goes throughout your entire body. It goes to your brain, to your heart.
So that's two problems. One problem is it isn't where it's supposed to be, ideally.
Where we thought it was, where we thought it was for all the
and the other
previous vaccines.
The other problem, and this is your area of expertise, is that what these vaccines do is they encode spike protein alone so that the immune system will learn to recognize spike protein and will catch it quickly when one is confronted with COVID. But the spike protein itself, we now know, is very dangerous. It's cytotoxic. Is that a fair description?
More than fair, and I alerted the FDA about this risk months and months and months ago.
Months and months and months ago. By the way, Steve is not a doctor. I meant offhandedly he's a doctor, but he's a scientist, right? He's a, type of scientist? But anyway, knows his stuff. So that Dr. Robert Malone had alerted the FDA to this, told them about it, told the CDC about it, that they had this information on file a long time ago. And so now removed from their website. And as Dr. Laurie, Teresa Laurie, she's a PhD, a UK medical doctor, research analyst who served as a consultant for the World Health Organization. She said, you have these social media sites removing scientific information done by people who are experts in their field. Laurie said, why are social media companies so intent on suppressing scientists trying to communicate info about these medicines? She questioned the mRNA mechanism for producing the spike protein. When does it stop? Meaning, when does it turn itself off? We don't know. And Dr. Peter McCullough, in a recent speech highlighting a recent release of this information, was saying the evidence is well past 15 months in the body. So much so that, of course, it's triggering genetic changes in the body. So the CDC just quietly removes this from their website, hoping you won't notice.
Well,
hoping we wouldn't notice, but we're covering it here on the show.
From a selfish point of view, right? We are supposed to, on these community standards for the platforms that we are broadcasting on, we are supposed to adhere to CDC information, right? So if this is no longer CDC information, we can question it now. This is maybe one bit of shackle that's taken off of people on the internet. But the answer to her question, why are social media companies so intent on suppressing scientists trying to communicate information? Well, that is an easy money question, right? Facebook, we know, offered $1 million of free advertising to the CDC around the vaccines. We know that the pharmaceutical companies have bought in, have bought, and actually the U.S. government bought advertising on all major media platforms. So we know exactly why. That shouldn't make us feel any better.
So meanwhile, today, the head of Pfizer, this is a, you know, again, you want to look at this. I always look when we get these guys who are literally responsible for these vaccines, the quadruple vaxxed, he's had four vaccinations. The CEO of Pfizer had this to say this afternoon. Oh, he got COVID.
Yeah.
He said, Albert Bourla is experiencing very mild symptoms, and he tweeted about it. He said, we've come so far in our efforts to battle this disease that I'm confident I will have a speedy recovery.
Now, and he's being treated with Paxlovid, which is only approved for emergency use, and he's only 60. Right. And he's having, you know, who makes Paxlovid? His company does, right? So is this like...
See, I'm doing it too.
Interesting question. Yeah.
Four vaccines and he gets COVID, right? So maybe we know why he got COVID, thanks to a new study that's out today out of Iceland. Take a look at this. A new Iceland study shows that COVID reinfection rates rise with the number of vaccine doses, is the headline. This is a story. The new Icelandic study shows the reinfection rate in Iceland. And I'll put these charts up here on the screen. The new research letter published this early August in the Journal of the American Medical Association Network Open. The letter describes the result of a study which monitored for reinfection all Icelanders previously infected during the Omicron wave between December 1st and February 22nd of 2022. Study shows a probability of reinfection up to 15% among 18 to 29-year-olds, declining with age. Reinfection is not surprising considering the reinfection rates seen around the world after the appearance of Omicron, though the authors expected a lower rate. But the interesting part is the comparison by vaccination status. It shows that for most age groups, those who have received two doses or more are more likely to become reinfected than those who have received no vaccines or one dose, according to this new research paper published in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Well, I see the comments in the chat room right now because there are rumors online that the CEO of Pfizer was never vaccinated because there was a story that went around, I think last year, that he had to cancel a trip because he didn't meet the vaccine requirements for this trip. Do you know this story?
Yes.
And I think that the most recent reporting on that is because he was in between his first and second dose and needed a full vaccine to take this trip. I don't know, right? But this is the theory out there that he actually was not vaccinated, but he is now saying, yes, I am quadruple vaccinated, and now he's got it.
Quadruple vaccinated and now on Paxlovid. And again, but add that all into this Icelandic study, people who don't have any of them and have a less likelihood of actually, getting it. So I don't know. You know, it's interesting to see. And what, you know, Dr. Peter McCullough's point is we're going to start to see a lot more information about the genetic. We're going to see. It's so hard to, you know, we got to be very careful here. But, you know.
Well, right now on Twitter, Nuremberg 2. Is trending.
Nuremberg 2.
In relationship to this story, because not the Pfizer CEO, but this story about the mRNA, because people are saying we deserve real trials about the rollout of the vaccine, the execution of the pandemic, all of these things. We know we're not getting the real story. We know that there are bigger looming questions. We are all collectively pissed off about it. And we do want to see maybe sort of an extreme use of that word, or maybe not. I don't know.
No, we deserve answers, right? We deserve answers, and we need to rise up, and we need to demand these answers from our elected leaders, and our unelected leaders. I mean, hell, we have people like the World Health Organization running the show. These globalists, these unelected globalists, who are, you know, who we've handed over authority in these governments to. So the United States, EU, we've handed over the rights and government authority,
of our freedoms,
to these people to guide us and tell us and to, you know, and they get to control this narrative. And it's unbelievable. And Dr. Peter McCullough, you know, pointed out, like, things are going to really become troubling once we can't hide this body count anymore. like when we start to find out more and more and more details start to come out. We've been reporting it in our newsletter. We can't talk all about it here, unfortunately. But if you go to our newsletter, redacted.inc, we were covering the stories out of Australia. We were covering the stories about coffins being ordered. I can't go into details about it all, but sadly, really, really troubling stuff. And you talk to undertakers at different funeral homes. They're being silenced. They're being silenced on social media, and they're telling you what they're seeing at their own funeral home. Mm. Oh, that's misinformation. No, it's not. It's at their own funeral home, and multiple funeral directors are coming forward now. What they're seeing in young people.
In fact, I saw a mainstream news report in Australia just today where the news media was reporting that the government of Australia overreported COVID deaths. And they said that most what we've been saying, what David says all the time, David, I don't know if you're here to talk to us or not, but that people who die with COVID are not the same as people who die of COVID. And in fact, of all of these deaths in Australia, they show that only 18 were people who died of COVID versus the government's reporting of thousands who died with COVID.
Right, like COVID, morbidities, right?
Not even necessarily of comorbidities complicated by, complicated by COVID, but actually like people who just happened to have it when they died of something else, not necessarily even a complication, right? So I think we are going to see, now that there is at least some mainstream media willing to, I haven't seen American media do this, but willing to ask these questions and look deeper into this data, you know, it is a sign of a crack in the pavement, crack in the, what is the saying? A crack in the armor,
a chink in the armor. I think a chink in the armor,
a crack in the,
a crack in the pavement,
in the breastplate, in the cod piece,
in the cod piece. Don't touch my cod piece. Hands off my cod piece. Yes. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel, please. It's very simple to do. We cover these stories here on the show. We try to cover the stories that are redacted, that information is withheld from you there. Thus the name of our show. So please smash that like button and subscribe. We do this show every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So you can join us live here. So very, very important to do that. We're going to read some of your super chats here in a moment. But first, do you own a small business and need help growing it? Then AnthemSoftware.com is your one-stop solution. Anthem Software helps small businesses all over America find, serve, and keep more customers profitably. By providing world-class CRM software and results-focused marketing services, your business will not only grow but dominate in this highly competitive modern world. That's AnthemSoftware.com. Every business has a song. Let AnthemSoftware.com help you sing yours. Visit AnthemSoftware.com to schedule your free demo of this amazing solution for small businesses. We're big supporters of small businesses here on this show because small businesses got absolutely crushed when our government went into the lockdowns and crushed all of these small businesses and helped big businesses. So our thanks to Anthem for supporting our show. All right, all right, all right. So we've got some super chats to get to. As we get those prepared, I want to remind you, we have a daily newsletter. Go to redacted.inc. It's totally free. You'll get a welcome email from me. My email is just clayton@redacted.inc. So you get a welcome email. Make sure you drag us into your like VIP or like Google. Last week, we found out Google labeled our newsletter as dangerous in Gmail. So please, it's not dangerous. It's just truthful information. And so just drag us into your inbox or your VIP, add us to a contact. That way, every morning you'll get the newsletter for free. Again, it's totally free. So redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up for that.
All right. Well, let's get to your super chats or your comments. I appreciate them very much. And so, Philip, do you have them in an order to read out?
I do. I do have them. I can read and everything.
Great.
So we have, first up, Raphael Lagonde. Trump is not a hero in any form. Fact.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have Dan Amai, who apparently does not like gold. XRP, Clayton, stop shilling gold. XRP, 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 XRP. So.
What is XRP? Is it a...
XRP. It's a crypto. So.
Oh, okay.
Look, I'm not a shill for gold. I mean, first of all, gold has been around for millions of years. as a currency, it's been used for like 4,000 years. It's survived famines, wars, government collapses, right? Yes, all manner. And it's survived all of that, right?
4,000, I don't think is that.
No, no, I think it's over 4,000 years. Gold, okay. Gold and precious metals. And every government currency in world history has collapsed. All of them. All of them. And when the United States government is $30 trillion in debt, I would rather have precious metals to preserve like my family's wealth. Not necessarily for huge appreciation, but just as a preservation model, as a hedge against inflation. Very, very important. But yes, crypto too. Like, hey, good on you for having some Bitcoin or some other things that are outside of this government, corrupt government model. So good for you.
I like the irony of just like shilling for gold. Like you're shilling gold because you invest in gold. Like that, it's like gold is paying you to
tell right, you to like invest gold. In gold. No, no. I mean, I believe in gold. I believe in precious metals. So,
Event Simonis, China is not going to do a thing. Why? They did nothing when Pelosi landed. They are all talk.
All right, but that's a high stakes game to bet on.
Oh, Bob in our chat, Bob Silent says, as long as you get real gold and not shares of it. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I like investing in gold companies that are also pulling gold out of the ground, but also physical gold and holding, you know, and buying actual physical gold and actual, so you can do both, you know. Robert Kiyosaki taught me that years ago, buying gold, but also investing in the companies that pull the gold out of the ground, you know.
All right, we've got Greg, the DoorDash guy. Congress and the establishment will end the world if it makes making a buck, or if it means making a buck and robbing the people at the expensive, at the expense of the people. You can't be any more disgusting than that.
Mm-hmm. It sure feels like that. That's the mantra.
Jaden. Yep. Jaden, Borks is the Internet of Things industry. Hint. Humans are the things. What could that have to do with semiconductors?
Well, look, semiconductors, you know, that's the thing. If you think about it being connected to everything, the Internet of Things, every little device, every tracking, you know, that's why they need these chips. You know, that's why there's such, like, they're a crisis right now. It's in everything from our cars to our toothbrushes, you know?
All right. Then we have, JTT25C, please interview the China show, real info on I'm assuming this is genocide, not Genoki.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that would be.
Okay. The China show. Is that
the
China
show?
Check it out. Yeah.
We had a video clip from that the other week, didn't we? Or was that?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to subscribe and look into that. Thank you.
Then we have Vanessa Blue. Just a huge thanks for everything you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We try our
Pepper Dark Secret.
We try our hardest. We put together a free show for you. We work really hard. So thank you for your kind words.
Sailing Prepper Dark Secrets, just a big old heart sticker.
Let's see. Like
that. Yep, and we've got, looking through it, almost there. Trump had a standing order that said any documents that he took off-site were declassified. Hillary did not have, we read that one out loud.
Yeah.
This is Winter Wolf 2012, best wishes from the Florida Keys.
Oh. Ooh, love the Florida Keys.
Back at ya.
Alex Kartanov, 1.5 years of lead time sounds like a poor KPI, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. A key performance indicator for 1.5 for the mRNA spike protein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I got confused by that one. Jaden, it never turns off. It turns your DNA into a processor for quantum parallelism and telemetry. A living blockchain node with enough storage space to store the entire internet.
Wow.
All right.
Cool. Let's see the science on that.
Can you upload my life to the cloud then when I'm done?
I don't know if I'd want my life on the cloud. I don't know. Nah. Candace Cox with the last super chat. Thank you all for the great news. Also was wondering when a new store was coming. Can't wait to rock the redacted jacket.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. That's up to David. He was working on that. There's a bunch of things on his plate right now. We're getting all the graphics done, the new store. So yeah, we'll have, I want to get a good redacted hoodie for the fall. The fall is my favorite season of the year, and nothing like having like a zip up or a nice warm hoodie. So I want to get a nice redacted hoodie. So we're going to work on those with maybe just the redacted logo, keeping it classy. So
yeah.
Yeah. Alien Soldier says Clayton needs more UFO discussion. I know I do. My son today, we were walking and talking, and he said, "Daddy, can you talk to me about UFOs?" He loves to ask me about that because he knows I love talking about it. So I was telling him some of the latest UFO news about some of the most the report that was just released on the USS Ronald Reagan and all of those sailors who witnessed that huge fiery UFO that was like on fire, following them for hours, witnessed by many, many members of the military. I was telling him about that story. So yeah, I any UFO stories I can get, I'm happy about that. All right, everyone. Thank you guys so much. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Thursday. So please subscribe to the channel. Be sure to turn on that little bell notification. You have to hover over it with your mouse if you're on a desktop or other place, and then you can flip it to all notifications. So that way, when we go live, you get notified. A lot of people here say that YouTube suppresses their notifications. They don't get them. Anyway, just flip it on. And hopefully you'll get your notification as soon as we go live that you can jump in and join us tomorrow.
And before we go, if you haven't smashed that like button, please do. It's free. Just
yes, do it.
Push it if you don't mind, so that way other like-minded individuals can find this show and converse with us.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you back here mañana. Peace.